From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel.
Okay, and blackout.
A rehearsal of Macbeth.
And lights up.
Thrice the brinded cat hath mewed.
Shakespeare's Scottish tragedy, which shows that behind every murderously ambitious general, there's a woman.
Macbeth shall never vanquished be.
When he was 12 years old, Teller, the silent partner of the magic team of Penn and Teller, was given a copy of Macbeth. Teller, who occasionally breaks his silence for this program, remembers being floored by it, then and ever since.
Macbeth is a supernatural horror thriller. It's got the supernatural, it's got horror, and it's got thrills. It's got more blood than any other show ever conceived. And it's got night and everything about night. It's an extraordinary, you know, noir work, and yet it's a blast.
Years ago, Teller says, he started dreaming of staging Macbeth the way Alfred Hitchcock might have done it, like a horror movie. And now, in director Aaron Posner, he has found a kindred spirit and collaborator.
I'm a lifelong lover of Shakespeare, but I have sort of followed Teller into Macbeth, following his glee for the macabre and his devilish grin and enjoyment at the magic and this sort of visceral engagement with the otherworldly. So I've sort of followed that path that he has carved in sort of opening up this play.
Go upstage. Just move up. You move up.
And so, coming soon to the Two River Regional Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, and then to the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., the gory, spine-chilling Macbeth. It features, for example, three witches, three weird sisters wearing masks inspired by the mummies of the Palermo Crypt. And the witches are played by three big guys. Those are three extremely weird sisters.
Yes. We're shooting for about as weird. Well, how do you capture the other world on stage?
One way is by using Teller's chosen craft, magic.
One of our goals is to let the audience actually experience what Macbeth is going through. That is, to put them in his position. Typically, when you see someone hallucinating the dagger, is this a dagger which I see before me? You see an actor on stage staring at a spot of air to the best of his ability, and you kind of go, oh, there's a guy acting a little crazy. In our production, our Macbeth will be kind of glancing at himself in a mirror, and then in the mirror, a transparent apparition of the dagger will appear. He will try to grab it with his own reflection, and his own reflection will pass right through the dagger. And then, of course, a little later, the dagger points a certain direction and certain amounts of ruby liquid appear on it. And all of this is something that the audience there in the theater will see along with Macbeth so that they will get the visceral sense of what it's like to live in a world where, as Macbeth says, nothing is but what is not.
When I say now, just pull it back, you know, a foot.
Maybe. I'd rather do that with the light.
I am sworn to secrecy as Posner and Teller do a run-through with the magic dagger, Macbeth's hallucination, to be shared with the audience.
Okay. And
she tipped the blade slightly down.
Yeah, we just get the...
Not the whole thing, just the blade.
Get a little more light on the blade if you can.
The dagger turns, appearing to be almost real, almost illusory, and on cue, crimson droplets fall in an eerie drizzle from the knife's edge.
Okay, now let's try what happens when we go... I'd love to get more light on this before we do that, but...
Yeah. Where should we go from?
Right from here, yet here's just...
Oh, I'll stay in here.
The drizzle of fake blood is nothing compared to the drenching I got to see next. Still, all magical method, totally off the record. Remember when Lady Macbeth, haunted by guilt and sleepwalking, imagines blood on her hands?
Go out, damned spot. Out, I say.
Well, in this production, the most notorious imagined spot in all literature gushes deep red through Lady Macbeth's nightgown. At this rehearsal, Kate Eastwood Norris is attempting the sleight of hand that will mysteriously discharge the phony blood. Posner, Teller, and the rest of the crew want to see how well she performs and how well their ingenious magician's devices perform.
What's done cannot be undone. Too bad, too bad, too bad.
That is so grotesque.
Needless to say, both the actress and the props worked. Kate Eastwood Norris, tall, blonde, and suddenly bloody, talked about the challenge of not just acting the part of Lady Macbeth, but pulling off a magic trick while she's at it.
As a matter of fact, it makes it easier because I can show what I'm seeing. I don't have to act as much. I am experiencing what I suppose a regular, normal actress who doesn't have the ability to have the blood shown. I'm going ahead and giving that off, but it's actually a lot easier, and what it's done is make the technicality of the magic tricks has made this speech a piece of choreography. So there are points I can hit that I'm sure of, and I know as long as I hit those guideposts and have the general idea, I'm not alone on the stage. I have help.
Then you have these added magician's concerns that nobody should see the source of the blood that I'm sworn to not describe to anybody or to do that. You have to describe what you look like right now, just having rehearsed this scene.
Oh, yeah.
You can't rehearse this scene too many times in a day, I guess.
No, that would involve a lot of showers. At the end of the scene, I am in a white dress, look sort of like a slip or a very casual wedding gown, and the entire front of me is soaked and covered in blood from, I guess, the top of my chest to my toes by the end of the scene. And I have some spatters on my arms, and it's very sticky. It's fabulous. It's like... It is sort of a wildest dream to have this, because it's so shocking. It really makes it almost easier for me. And I do have the pressure of making sure the magic trick goes, because I can't emotionally rationalize my way out of showing the trick fall onto the ground or something.
That would be a tough one.
But I will certainly get a lot of rehearsal time in on this.
Most of it dry, though, I would think.
Yes, most of it dry.
This is an unusual project for Teller, who is squeezing Macbeth into his winter break from the magic act that he and Penn Jillette do in Las Vegas. Another of his contributions, finding someone to create sound for the production that's appropriately weird and otherworldly.
When we were looking for a percussionist, I talked to Mr. Sondheim, I talked to Lou Reed, and I talked to Tom Waits. And Tom Waits is eventually the person who guided us to Kenny Wollison as being the most theatrically mad that he could find.
It's one of the times when I knew that this was not a typical regional theater production, when Teller and I both said, we'll both call some people we know to get some ideas for percussionists. And I certainly called some very intelligent, very reasonable theater professionals, but not Sondheim, Waits, and Reed, in terms of, and the level of people Teller has brought into this has been, just incredible.
So how is the transition from Las Vegas stage magician to Shakespearean director or co-director?
I don't notice any difference between the two. I really don't. There is one show business. Anything that takes you out of yourself, gives you a little bit of joy, and that isn't quite real. They all belong together.
Teller and Adam Posner's Macbeth is scheduled to open in Red Bank, New Jersey in mid-January. It moves to the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. at the end of February, where it'll show until April. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.